nobody else scurrying around so that everyone can be sure and pay attention. Luke chapter 16. Look here at the book of Luke chapter 16. This is no doubt some of the hardest scripture in the entire Bible. This is without a doubt some of the hardest scripture for a preacher to have to preach. And because of the subject about hell, did you know that Jesus in His ministry here mentioned hell 3 times more than He mentioned heaven? There is no doubt there's a heaven that we're going to one of these days. There's also no doubt there's a hell where you'll go to if you're not saved by God's grace. I want to preach this morning on the subject, what is going on in hell? Luke chapter 16, and if you will, we'll skip part of that story this morning and look at verse number 22. Luke chapter 16, begin reading with verse number 22. Now we'll all settle down now. Everyone be still. And in hell he lift up his eyes, being in torments, and seeth Abraham afar off, and Lazarus in his bosom. And he cried. See that? And he cried. Hold your finger there just a second. Man told, one time his preacher invited this man to church, and he said, "Now if you're not saved, you go to hell." And the man said, "When I wake up in hell, I'm going to be laughing." But the Bible said that man was crying. There is nobody laughing in hell this morning. The Bible said he cried. And he said, "Father Abraham, have mercy on me. And send Lazarus that he may dip the tip of his finger in water and cool my tongue. For I am tormented in this flame." And Abraham said, "Son, remember that thou in thy lifetime receiveth thy good things, likewise Lazarus evil things. But now he is comforted, and thou art tormented. And beside all this, between us and you, there's a great gulf fixed, so that they which would pass from hence to you cannot, neither can they pass to us that would come from thence." Then he said, "I pray thee therefore, Father, that thou wouldest send him to my father's house. For I have 5 brethren, that he may testify unto them, lest they also come into this place of torment." Abraham saith unto him, "They have Moses and the prophets, let them hear them." And he said, "Nay, Father Abraham, but if one went unto them from the dead, they will repent." And he said unto him, "If they hear not Moses and the prophets, neither will they be persuaded, though one rose from the dead." I will preach on what is going on in hell. Now, it's hard to believe for us. We're sitting here this morning, peaceful, nice surrounding, good, nice, cool, air-conditioned building, cars outside, food in your belly. Most of you had a good week compared to a lot of people. It's hard for us to imagine that right now, in Baghdad, there's possibly bombs going off. Car blew up just a minute ago. Somebody's half their body got blown off. Maybe right now, that's going on right now. See, you know the old saying, it's out of sight, out of mind. It's hard for us to imagine. Right now, people are being killed. Somebody has been stabbed with a knife since I've been up here talking. Lots of people have been killed. Car accidents. Somebody just now died screaming while I was saying just that right now. Now, we don't see it, so somehow or another we convince ourselves that everything's great. But right now, somebody's house is on fire and they're screaming and trying to get help. Right now. But it's not here, so it's hard for us to think about. Now, if that's true, the same's true of hell. below your feet this morning, there are people weeping and gnashing of teeth. I'm not sure if I've ever heard a real good definition of gnashing of teeth, but I picture it just like just gnawing on each other. And right now, you say, "Preacher, do you really believe that?" I believe the Bible. And that's in the Bible. Now, if it's not true, we don't even have a right to exist as a church. Because the very same book that tells us this, tells us there's a heaven, tells us there's a Jesus, tells us there's sin, where we come from, it's all in the same book. It all stands or falls, brother. It's either all true or there's errors and mistakes in it. So what is going on right now in hell? Now, nowhere in the Bible is there a more vivid picture and description of hell than in Luke chapter 16. This scripture has been criticized, mocked, made fun of for literally thousands of years. Yet there it stands in the Bible. A roadblock, a wall that you run into when you read God's Word. It's there. And there's nothing we can do about it. It's still there. The Bible even said in Isaiah 5, somewhere along in there, Isaiah chapter 5, that hell hath enlarged herself. Every time I see a volcano on there and it goes like that right there, I picture there's so many people going to hell. It's falling in there by the thousands every day that it just belches out once in a while. And we call that a volcano. The Bible talks about hell over 50 times. It's hard to believe that right now, yet we know it's true deep down inside. We don't see. I think about it like this. I hear people say, "Well, nobody's that bad. Ain't nobody done nothing bad enough to make them burn forever and ever and ever." Yet we don't see sin like God sees sin. We're sinful. We sort of let it slide a little bit. We pat sin a little bit like, "Oh, it ain't that bad." But in God's eyes, sin is a terrible, terrible, terrible thing. And God loved you enough to give. You know, I heard a preacher say, you know, God loved, people say, "Well, if God's so good, why'd He make hell?" He loved you enough to, He'd die to keep you out of there. He loved you enough to die to keep you out of there. That's pretty good, ain't it? You say, "Well, if God's love, God is love." He loved you enough to die for you. Jesus was God on the cross, and He gave His life to pay our sin debt so me and you would not have to burn in hell. Ladies and gentlemen, that means the church today is in the greatest rescue work on the face of planet Earth. There is no other job more important than what we're doing here this morning. Hell is an awful, awful place. Man said one time, he said, "Well, I'm 70 years old. I ain't never seen hell." And his little grandson said, "But, Papa, you been dead yet? Have you been dead yet?" "No, you haven't." And a man walking around on this earth, he cannot tell you there's no hell. He may want to believe it. He may convince himself of it. He ain't been dead yet. He don't know what's over there. And I haven't either. But I've got a record of a man that has. And Jesus died. And He paid the price so we wouldn't have to go to hell. And He come up with the keys of death, hell, and the grave. So this morning, I'd like to talk about this rich man a little bit. And we'll talk about what is going on in hell. Many times when a preacher preaches about hell, we're accused of using scare tactics. "Oh, you preachers just scare people." Now, I tell you what you can do for this morning. You can appreciate me for telling you what the Bible said. It's not fun. It's not easy. This is a part of my job that I really don't enjoy. And standing in front of a congregation of people and warning them and telling them that there is a place down there under your feet this morning where people are weeping and wailing and gnashing of teeth. Let me say four things about it this morning. And I want to say, first of all, they're remembering. The people in hell are remembering. The Bible said in verse 25, He said, "Son, remember." See, that rich man, he down there in hell, he said, "Father Abraham, help me. Send Lazarus over here to help me." And the man looked down at him and said, "Son, remember." You remember that you in your lifetime had good things? Somebody said one of the worst tortures in hell will be the undying memory of a misspent life. And I believe that this morning. Can you imagine? Can you imagine? It's like when you have a car wreck and you think, oh, I should have been paying attention. Why didn't I do that? It's too late. See, it's already done. It's like when you're in the hospital and you think, why didn't I listen to the doctor? Now here I am having to say it's too late. Can you imagine being in hell? This rich man, he remembered. He remembered constantly. He remembered that big old house where he lived. It had gates on it. His house was so nice that it had gates on it. Lazarus laid at those gates full of sores. He remembered those gates. He remembered his purple clothing. He remembered the clothes that he wore. He remembered sending ships to somewhere and saying, bring back the finest linen. Bring back purple. Bring back gold. And wearing them around town. He remembered what he wore on earth. He remembered the house that he lived in. He remembered the chariot that the horses or the mules or whatever pulled him around in. How he rode through the streets and he thought, it's torture. It's torture. I remember where I lived. I remember I have 5 brethren. I remember I have a daddy. His mind, his memory. He remembered, ladies and gentlemen, he remembered every time when his mama would hold him when he was just a little boy growing up. He remembered his daddy taking him fishing and throwing up out there trying to catch a fish. He remembered playing ball and maybe bouncing a ball or playing softball or baseball or football or something. He remembered every time his grandmother tried to get him to go to church. He remembered every time he rode down the road and the church doors were open and he rode right past it because he didn't have time for God. He remembered the revival posters. He remembered when people were inviting to church and say, why don't you get saved? No doubt Lazarus may have tried to witness to him. I'm telling you, in hell this morning, they remember it. And it's torture what they're remembering this morning. You listen to me this morning? It's torture. Torture. He remembered the times he had laughed when somebody said, read the Bible. He remembered every time he walked past that book and turned the TV on and left it laying there. He remembered. The Bible said he could remember everything when he was in hell. I can't imagine how bad being in hell would be and remembering every time I think, Lord, why didn't I go to that revival? I must have been crazy. I want to be popular. I want to be the funny guy. I want to be the life of the party. I want everybody to like me. And now here I am in torment. I'm no different than all these other people down here. I'm just another sinner. My soul will burn forever. And it's, listen to me. Hey, the world out there will tell you hell's fun. The world out there will tell you you're going to party when you get there. The world out there actually brag about what they're going to do when they get to hell. They said years ago, somebody wrote this book and they described somewhere off Whale Yonder, there was a nightclub and it was called Hell. The name of the nightclub was Hell. And it was down deep, down in, you know, some of these big cities. You go down step, go down to the basement, and they said every step had a sign on it. And one step said, I wouldn't listen. And the next step said, I'll get saved one of these days. And the next step said, I'll make it right later. The next step said, you shouldn't judge me. And every step. And next step said, good intentions. And every step had something like, you know, the road to hell is paved with good intention. I'm going to get right. And that's why, as you were going down into that nightclub, you saw that. And I imagine people went down through there and thought, how funny. What a joke. Ladies and gentlemen, they're not joking now. They ain't laughing now. They are remembering what they had here in this earth. Number two this morning. They are in torment. They are in torment. In verse 25, you know what he said? He said, send Lazarus to dip his finger in water and cool my tongue, for I am tormented in this flame. In this flame. Ladies and gentlemen, he said, have mercy on me. Have mercy on me. I heard this story recently about this man years ago. Preacher's up preaching. And he said he got up to preach one night and he got in there and he said it's time revival. And this man walked in the door a little bit late. And he said he noticed he looked funny because he had these big sunglasses on. And these big sunglasses the kind that wrapped all the way around. It looked a little odd. And he thought, well, I don't know what that guy's problem is. And he said, after the service, that man came up to him and he said, if you don't mind, Pastor, I'd like to speak to you in your office. So they went in the office. The preacher preached on hell that morning and about heaven and told people how to get saved. And he said, that man came in, he said, I didn't know if he's crazy or what. He said, we sat down, and he said, that man began to talk. He had them big glasses wrapped all the way around his face like that. And they said, he started talking, and the preacher said, sir, what's the deal with his glasses and everything? And he said, preacher, that's what I want to talk to you about. He said, preacher, if these people sitting in this church had any idea what real fire is like, they'd everyone in there get saved. He said he took up them glasses off and put them down. He said, I've never seen something in my life so grotesque, so horrible. He said that man's face, he said he had got his face nearly burned off. They had took skin and grafted its strips of it over his eyes just to try to save his eyes. He said he looked like a monster. And he said he told them this story. He said, preacher, he said, I lived out on a big old farm, grew up on a farm, and I inherited it from my daddy. And when daddy died, I took over the farm. He said, my wife left me. He said, my wife run off and left me. He said, I was going through a divorce. He said, it was the awfulest time ever was. He said, I had a little garden down there, and I was working in my garden, and my little boy, 4 years old, was up in the upstairs of our big old farmhouse, had a big fence around it, and he said, I was down in the garden, and he said, as I was down in the garden, suddenly, I heard a scream. He said, I could hear my son screaming. I looked and smoke was boiling out of the top of that old farmhouse. He said, preacher, I dropped what I hoe, and I'm that shovel and whatever he had. He said, I fell in them dirt clods trying to get up that hill. He said, I went through that fence, and I started running. I could hear my son screaming, Daddy, help me, I'm in the fire. And he said, I run like any man would. He said, I got a big deep breath and I opened that front door and I run through that front door. And he said, ladies and gentlemen, he said, I run through that. I could feel the smoke. He said, I could feel it sizzling on my skin. He said, I run up them steps and grabbed my son like this and I held him. I got a blanket and I wrapped him. He said, we could hardly breathe. I was about to choke to death. He said, I put my son, there were some people that gathered up by now, and he said, I dropped my son down and they got him down there to safety. And he said, about the time my son got down, the floor gave out from under me. He said, I could feel that floor giving out from under me, and I started falling. He said, I didn't know what happened. I fell through into that fire, into the bottom floor. He said, I didn't even know what happened. I woke up in the hospital. And he said, somebody got in there and saved me. And he said, preacher, he said, I laid there for days and weeks trying to recover. He said, they gave me the best of medicine. They gave me the best. But he said, nobody knows the pain that it feels to be burning and burning and burning. And he said, if everybody in your church would know what hell felt like, everybody would get saved. And I'm telling you this morning, if you have that much doubt in your mind that you're saved or not saved this morning, I'd get it right, because they are in torment right now while I'm preaching. Right now. I know what you're thinking. People so crazy now, they say, oh, I don't think preachers should scare people like that. Little kids shouldn't be told that. Listen, little kids are warned about running out in front of cars. Little kids are warned about, you can't, you gotta get you shots, you gotta get this, you gotta get that. You know why you don't believe in preachers talking about hell around your kids? Because you don't even believe in it. If you believe in that, you'd want your boys and girls to know it. There's a girl named Mary Slessor. She was a missionary to Africa. And she, when she was 8 years old, she had a Sunday school teacher, or babysitter, something that got and kept her. And her babysitter, when she was 8 years old, this is back in the 1800s, she got all them kids there and she said, I was wild. She said, I got up 9, 10, 11 years old. She said, I was a wild lassie. That was her words. She said, 11 years old.
Me and the girls would go out, get in trouble, doing little things, lying, cheating, stealing, thing. 11 years old. She said, my babysitter got us together, and she sat her down, and she said, girls, I'm going to tell you, and she told her what the Bible said about hell, and she said, girls, you'll go there if your soul's not been redeemed by the blood of the Lamb. She's had a burden for it. And Mary Slessor got saved. She got scared, and she got saved. And ladies and gentlemen, she got saved and became a missionary to Africa, and there's people in Africa who went to heaven and got saved by the grace of God because one woman knew that little kids do need to know there's a hell. They do need to know it's there. Why would you hide that from them? Are you crazy? They need to know. You say, well, they don't need to be scared. Yes, they sure do. They need to be scared. The Bible said, by the fear of the Lord, men depart from evil. You know why I got saved when I was 18? Because I didn't want to go to hell. You know what's wrong with this generation? Nobody thinks they're going anymore. But you'll change your mind when you wake up. You'll change your mind when you feel the heat, when you smell the smoke. Ladies and gentlemen, they are in torment.
There's a doctor named Dr. Maurice Rawlins. He was a cardiologist and a professor of medicine in the big hospital in Chattanooga, Tennessee. He was a devout, professed atheist. He didn't believe in any religion, any God, nothing. He was caring for a patient of his who was near death. And this patient, he was dying, and they were trying to resuscitate him and bring him. That man on the bed there opened his eyes, and when he opened his eyes, he began to scream. And he screamed, I'm in hell! Help me, somebody! Help me! And the doctor thought he was shocked, and he looked back and said, good night. I've never seen anything like it. He said, you ought to have seen the look on that man's face. He said he grimaced. His pupils dilated. He sweated and ripped back and forth in that bed. He screamed, I'm in hell! He was terrified. He said he laid that down there and the man kept screaming and he died like that. He said that got me really interested. This is a medical doctor, cardiologist. And he said, I began to study death experiences. And he said, I found out that without medication, thousands and thousands of people, right when they're dying, see demons and devils and talk about fire. Now, I'm not confirming it and I'm not denying it. The Bible don't say that right before we die, we can see mom and all that. But I don't deny that could happen. That could very well happen. There's nothing in the Bible that said that can't happen. I've heard too many stories of old saints of God right before they cross saying, there's mama, there's daddy, and there's out of their mind before that. Now, I don't know if that's true or not, but I know it could be. There's no scripture that says that can't happen. And he said he studied the people that saw a great light. He said some people see a great light and they cross. He said some people scream and say they're going into fire. And he did a major study on dying experiences, and halfway through it, he got into what the Bible talks about, heaven and hell. And as a result, that man came to the logical conclusion that there has to be a life after this life. There's got to be. Life makes no sense if you're just here today and you die and that's the end of you. There is something out yonder. There is something down there. There is a heaven. There is a hell. And ladies and gentlemen, everybody in here today is going to one of them two places. Number three. What are they doing in hell? They're praying. They're more praying in hell this morning than they are on earth. It just don't do no good. What was he praying? One drop, not a gallon, not a bucket, not a bathtub full of water, just one drop. Can I just have one? Just a drop. I'm tormented. Just one drop of water. That's all. Stuff that we take for granted here. Like that right there, see? Look at that. Like that, we take it for granted. They'd give anything in the world for that. Somebody went to hell last night, died in a car wreck, and right now they'd give everything they owned on this earth for that cup of water right there. Lord, have mercy. Have you thanked God for saving you lately?
Have you just got up and raised your hand this morning and said, "Thank God I'm saved. Glory to God. I'll never feel the flames of that place. I deserve to be there, but I'm not going because Jesus paid my price." Glory to God. Hallelujah. I'm telling you this morning, you ought to get saved. If you're here this morning, you're not saved, you ought to get saved. If somebody said, "You want them hellfire preachers?" They ain't no other kind if they're real. Jesus Christ preached on hell. And if you go to a church where the preacher never said preach on hell, you ought to fire him, run him out of town. He's a hireling. He's a crook. He's a Bible denier. Tell him I said that. I'm telling you this morning, this is serious business. That book said there's a hell over 50 times. And a preacher don't mention it is either don't believe it or it's bad for his income. One of them two. Tell him I said that too. He said, "Send into my father's house. I've got five brethren." Can you imagine a man in hell praying that a soul winner will go to his house and witness to his brothers? Do you realize there's probably people in hell praying that you'll get in a bus ministry? Or that we'll go knock on somebody's door? Do you realize that? In hell, their prayers don't do no good. And I know up in heaven, they're saying, "Well, go, shining light, go, Brother Danny, go." You know, I was telling my wife last night, she was talking about some preacher, and some preacher said something like, "Well, I just give all of my life to these people, and look how they treat me," and everything. And we do get treated bad. Preachers get treated bad sometimes. But you know what? You know what I told her? I could say that. But I am not doing this for you. I'm not doing this for people. I'm not doing this for a pat on the back, for heaven's sake. I do what I do because I believe with all my heart God put me in this work and in this ministry, and it's what He wants me to do on this earth. I do it for Him. I'm warning you. You may be a church member. You may have been in church all your life and never really been saved. You can go to church every Sunday and die and go to hell without God. You can have your name on a book somewhere. You can have Sunday school pens. You can have perfect attendance. But listen, the devil goes to church every Sunday. They're praying. Finally, number four, they're cursing one another. They're cursing one another. The Bible said there's weeping, wailing, and gnashing of teeth. Can you imagine bumping into people? Now it's dark. It's pitch dark. But there's blitz of fire and that blue flame hotter than the fire we have here on this earth. Can you imagine bumping into people? Can you imagine somebody maybe bumping into somebody you work with? I don't know how God's got that fixed. It might be that when you're in hell, you're around the people that you are around here. I don't know. There's caverns. It's a bottomless pit. It has sides, according to the Bible, but no bottom. The best way you can picture it is put a bunch of shoes and stuff in your dryer and turn it on. And that dryer just goes around and around and around like that, and them things just swinging, knocking, bumping in. That's the way it is in hell. That dryer has sides and no bottom. It's a bottomless pit, like the inside of a donut. The inside of this earth, and the earth is spinning. It's just slinging them around. You know what an awful feeling is, not being able to feel nothing solid under you and get still. You've been on a boat or on an airplane. It feels good to have solid ground under your feet. No such thing in hell. They're weeping. Can you imagine somebody coming down this way? "Gobble me!" And you bump into that guy. You bump into that guy that sold you that first hit of crack. Or that first joint of marijuana. Or he sold you that first beer that you drunk. Well, you run in there. And he's not your friend then. He ain't the good old boy down there that runs the bar then. He ain't your buddy that brought up the dope then. You hate him. You curse. You bite with your teeth. I don't know why they have to bite with their teeth. Somebody, you're reduced to a worm maybe in the lake of fire in eternity where you have no arms and legs. Just degenerate back into the form of that snake, that serpent, and burn forever. But they gnash with teeth and scream and holler. You can't imagine something. nothing so bad as that. As the man that run the bar, the publishers of Playboy and Penthouse and all the pushers of that stuff and the pornography industry, the Ashley Madison website people that have pushed people towards sinning against God, and the whole, all the website people that have sat and played big shot on a computer will curse the day. Have you ever met some of them people? What bothers me is I'm thinking about that man when his daddy come to hell. When his daddy come to hell. And he said, "Daddy, you knew this place was here. My daddy knew the Bible was true, and he didn't even tell me. He didn't take me to church. Daddy, I hate you. I hate you. There is no love in hell. Everybody hates everybody. There'll be girls cuss their mama and try to hurt them and scrap them and bite them because their mama told them, led them down the wrong road, taught them how to dance, taught them how to be a stripper, taught them how to wiggle their body to get money. And I'm telling you, they'll hate each other when they get there." Say this morning, you better get saved while you got a chance. There's a bumper sticker we got back there in the bookstore. Honest to goodness, of all the bumper stickers, this one grabs me the most. And I think it's on my car out there right now. I think everybody in here ought to get one of them and put it on your car. It says, "Eternity in hell is a long time to be wrong." It's a long time to be wrong, people. Eternity in hell is a long time to be wrong. You got people that you work with. You got people that you live beside. They'll make fun of you for going to church. They'll call us, old holy rollers. Let them say what they want to. Eternity in hell is a long time to be wrong. If you're here this morning and you've never been saved, deep down in your heart, some say, "He's talking to you." The Holy Spirit's knocking on your heart's door. I wouldn't care what nobody said or what nobody thought. Listen, if that rich man could come back, if he could come back, he'd go to the first church preacher he could find, and he'd get down on his knees and said, I'm fixing this. I don't care who I got to quit hanging around. I don't care what I got to fix. I don't care what I have to change. Give it up!" People say, "Well, you have to give up too much. You ain't giving up nothing compared to what you're going to miss one of these days. 50 years of fun? Are you crazy? You're not a smart businessman, buddy. You give up 50 years of old sin, it winds up being boring anyway. The devil's a liar. Jesus loved you. And He let them beat nails in His hand." I know people that say, "Well, if that's true, I'm just mad at God." Well, you see where that gets you. See where that gets you. See if it'll stop you from winding up in hell when you die. Listen, people. You can't beat God. You just well join Him. Don't let your stubborn will take you to hell. What are they doing in hell? They're remembering. They're praying. They're burning. And they're cursing each other. And that's just a little part of it. I want you to stand and bow your head, please. And become real slow.